I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Doran will be back tomorrow in his place. Pat McAfee, Steelers insider, Mark Caboli. And I return from the restroom to see that you have meandered over to my computer to tweet out from my account, I love Mark Caboli, he is the best. You know, few exclamation points in there.
You know what, Adam, I don't know what you're talking about. Here's the thing.
I mean, that's something I would tweet anyway. I do love you, and I appreciate you coming in today.
You have to learn a lesson. You never walk away from your Twitter with it open, especially around a guy like me.
So I have to log out of my computer every time I go to the bathroom?
Oh, man. I mean, at least with the laptop, you could close the lid. You're opening yourself up for some chicanery.
Yeah, I mean, if you really wanted to, you could have just got me fired, so I guess I'm happy about that.
I would never do that.
Just like Jason Kelsey could have beat the living pulp out of that one guy and just broke his phone. Consider yourself lucky. I consider myself lucky here.
Sort of like how you peed in my kitchen at camp last year.
In my defense, it was dark. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. All right, so here we are. We're finally at this place we've discussed ad nauseum for a long time, Mark. The Steelers' vaunted second half of the season schedule. And there's a team that's not looking as good as we thought they could, and that's the Browns sitting here at 2-7. My God, they stink. And then there's a team that looks much better, and that's the Washington Commanders, 7-2. Marquee matchup next week, and I'm happy we got ourselves a 1 o'clock kick. How do you now look at the second half of the season schedule?
It's very, very tough. I mean, 5-7 on the road, 6 division games. I mean, what is realistic here? I mean, they're 6-2 and playing very well right now, coming off of a bye. But what is really realistic when you look at the final, 9 games? I mean, is 4 wins realistic? Is 5? I'm talking about realistic now. I mean, they're going to lose to the Cleveland Browns in one of those two games.
Get
I'm sorry,
here.
They're going to lose to them.
I would have said that before yesterday. That team's got nothing left. I think the first game with Jameis, they rallied around the guy that's not Deshaun Watson, and then they come out and get their doors basically blown off by a team that I think's decidedly average in the Chargers. That team ain't got a single wide receiver that scares you. Los Angeles.
The division games are just different.
I think
especially
it was
with Cleveland.
I think it was the last stand for the Browns. And I think by the time the Steelers play them, 3 weeks from now on the schedule? Thursday night game, that does make it tough.
3 games in 11 days. It's another thing that's tough.
There's schedule. No doubt about that. And those division games that you travel to on a Thursday, when you're the road team, it is much harder. I'm not so sure you don't see DTR in that game, though, is what I'm saying.
Wow. He does have a win against them.
Yeah, that got Matt Canada fired. And things seem to change since that point.
I think Najee might have had something to do with that, right?
I'll say that if Jameis Winston plays, I go into those games a little bit concerned. But if it's DTR, you're winning both games.
But you look at it, if they do go 4-5 the rest of the way, that's still a 10-win season.
They'll be a playoff team.
You'd probably not feel great about yourself going into the playoffs with a 10-win season. But like I said here, I mean, do you really think they're going to go in Philadelphia and win?
They never do, no.
No. I mean, Kansas City off of a short week on a Wednesday on a Christmas morning. When's the last time they beat Kansas City? Like 88? I don't know when it is, but wow, it's been a while.
You bring up, not at home. At home, they beat him to go to the playoffs a few years back.
Oh, well, I misremembered.
Alex Smith was the quarterback, which was a convenient omission from me. But your point about it's not just who they play, it's when they play them. So Christmas, you play Baltimore the Saturday before, and then you play Kansas City on a Wednesday. So that's like playing Sunday to Thursday. There's calendar math for you. I wouldn't want to play any team on a Wednesday or a Thursday after playing Baltimore on a Saturday or a Sunday.
Not only that, is this NFL teams are all about routine. They love to have the 1 o'clock game 7 days apart, and they there's not much of that to go around in the second half. Like you said, 3 games in 11 days, then they have another Thursday game, right? No, the Wednesday game, the short week. They got to play, I think, on a Saturday too, don't they?
Yeah, I just said that before.
Oh, the Saturday before that?
Before Christmas,
I mean, there was some talk about maybe the Baltimore game getting flexed to a night game, but I don't think they could do
that.
They can't do that to them. I think that would – it's probably something against the rules right now, because you can't go night game at Baltimore, I mean, home to Baltimore, then at Cleveland 4 days later. You just can't do that.
I mean, at – Philly, and they're playing better now.
They won 4 in a row.
Yes. At Philly, 6 days later, at Baltimore, and then 4 days after that, the Chiefs. You're not going to find a tougher 3-game stretch in the NFL this season or in many seasons before this. I mean, that is a gauntlet.
And once again, that's their 5 road games remaining before they even get to Kansas City.
Okay, so let's cut it this way then. They're not going to go 2-4 in the division. Like, I think at worst they're going 3-3.
Okay.
It's AFC North ball. So you got 6 wins now. You split in the division, you're 3-3. Okay. Or you're what, 9-5. Can you find a way in any of the other 4 remaining games to get a win?
I think they'll beat Washington. That's how you get to the playoffs. I think they'll beat Washington this week.
Okay. There you go then. There's your 10 wins. But now I don't think that's satisfying.
I think 10 is minimum right now. If anything less than 10, I would think it would be a disastrous second half.
I think only winning 10 would disappoint me.
I would take 10.
I think it would disappoint a lot of Steelers fans. Let's throw the number out. 412-928-9370. Fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. The division's right there. You got a shot. You lead the division right now. You're going on the road against a rookie quarterback, and I know he's great. And the last great rookie quarterback you played was C.J. Stroud, and he took you apart last year. But Tomlin, historically good against rookie QBs, historically good against the NFC. Go in there, you get that.
Lamar.
You're historically good against Lamar.
Next week.
If you're 8-2, now you've got a legitimate chance to win the division. Like, I think you almost need to win these next two games.
I mean, if you're 8-2, you might be a legitimate chance at the number one seed.
Yes.
Because you got Kansas City down the road where you can potentially beat them to get that tiebreaker. I mean,
that's why I'm saying it to me, 10 wins when you sit here at the bye at 6-2 just doesn't feel like enough, because you can see the Steelers having a home playoff game. If they're going to win a playoff game this year, they have to play at Acrisure. And I know that they've lost against Jacksonville there. They've lost against Cleveland there. If you play at ACC, and you win your, because you've won your division. Now you're playing the Chargers, you're playing a bad Bengals defense at home, or you're playing in Indianapolis at home. I would much rather take that path than you're going to Buffalo, okay, or you're going to Baltimore, or you're going to Kansas City.
Let me propose this to you. If I say to you right now, Adam, you could have a 10-win season guaranteed, or take your chances of how it plays out, what would you take? Would you take the 10-win season right now?
No, I'm
not. You would wait.
I'm waiting. They started too well. And I think a reasonable argument could be made that they'd be 8-0 if Russell Wilson were healthy all year. Like, I think they beat Dallas. Well, I think
they were an inch away from beating Dallas.
That's what I'm saying. And if you have a quarterback that can throw the ball down the field with more consistency, I think you win that. There were yards to be had there. And Justin Fields couldn't do it. Justin Fields would be the starting quarterback today if he would have found a way to throw the ball on Dallas without their two best pass rushers.
I might not agree with that, but...
You don't think they win a game?
No, I don't.
You mean the Justin Fields element?
The Justin Fields element of that.
I think they probably beat Indianapolis.
Well, that first quarter was just awful defensively, where you let Anthony – that might be the Anthony Richardson's highlight reel right there of his career.
Did you see, so for those who don't know, Anthony Richardson has been benched. Duh. Flacco played yesterday. He's only completed 11 or more balls in 3 out of his 11 starts. That is historically bad stuff for a quarterback drafted where he was drafted.
That's the problem, though. He probably shouldn't have been drafted there because he didn't have a huge body of work in college.
If you're going to draft a guy like that, not to bounce all over the place here, if you are going to draft a guy like that, you have to have him on the Josh Allen plan. Like, you need to give him time. Josh Allen, low completion percentage in college. Josh Allen, all the talent in the world. It took time. Now, they won with him in Buffalo, and he handed it off, and he could still hit the deep shots. It was the intermediate stuff he couldn't hit.
Yeah, he changed his motion, I believe, right?
It took you had to give him time. They don't want to give this guy time because they're seeing how much better it looks like Flacco, and it's always tantalizing if you feel like you got a chance to go to the playoffs.
Justin Fields to the Colts in the offseason, huh? See how I figure in that it's going to be hard for Justin Fields to stay around here because there's going to be a bunch of teams going to be throwing money at him.
You think there will be?
I think Colts will. I think the Panthers will. Boy, we're all over the place here, but
that's
yeah.
Okay. It's a Monday, Steelers bye. We can talk about whatever the hell we want to talk about.
If you're considering moving forward with Russell Wilson here, it's going to be hard for Justin Fields to come back. Hard.
All right, let's get into that a little bit coming up next because Adam Schefter reported on that this weekend as well. Social media's biggest loser brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. It's that guy who was being mean to Jason Kelce and got his comeuppance. That's social media's biggest loser. We'll take some of your phone calls as well when we come back, but right now it's a Sean Myers headline.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sean Myers bringing you fan headlines. The Penguins.
Oh, a little Sweet Caroline there. Callis just changed out all the music. Callis back with us next Monday. Doran should be back with us tomorrow. Sean Myers behind the glass and Kabolian with us until 10 o'clock. Tough one for Pitt. We were just talking to City Limits about that in the studio. Spent the whole first hour of the show talking college ball, Mark.
Yeah. You know, I was watching City Limits the other day on PBS. That's a terrible show. So I wish he would change his nickname, but I digress.
You do digress. I think if Pitt winds up winning 9 games, no one can be disappointed with the season. I mean, from going 3-9 last year, you win 9 games this year, you bring Holstein and Cade Bell back next year, those linebackers, I think this would be viewed as the year before the year. 9 wins a hell of a season. After winning 3 in today's college football, I think losing begets losing, winning begets winning. To go from 3-9 to this,
but
and to be nationally relevant and ranked, I think it's a hell of a season almost regardless of what happens. But I do kind of think you have to win 9.
I honestly think you're, if you look at the beginning of the season, you say that, but you're 7-0, top 20 ranked team, and all of a sudden you lose. You're saying you're losing 3 of your last 5. What we're saying, and you're going to view that as a success, maybe in the, as you say, at the 30,000 foot range here. We can look at it, but in the moment, I would think Pitt fans would say no.
In the moment, I would tend to agree with you because fans are emotional, and in the moment, if you go out there and lay an egg against Louisville and Clemson the way that you just did against SMU, then yeah, you're going to be ticked. But then come the offseason, so long as Holstein is retained and Cade Bell is retained and some of these great defensive players that have room in the middle, the Sharks, are retained, then I think you go into next year with a fair bit of optimism.
Yeah, I agree, because in May, what were we thinking, 3 wins? I mean, I don't think there was too many people who were thinking that they were going to be a top 25-ranked team
in
November.
I talked to a lot of people in and around the program and basically did what we've done here now with the Steelers schedule in the second half. I said, would you take 6-6 in a win over West Virginia? Would you sign for that in blood? And pretty much everyone I talked to said yes.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think Narduzzi or Cade Bell or any of those, Randy Bates, I don't think anybody within the program would have felt that way. But people who are involved and know it closely, I think they said 6-6 with a win over West Virginia would have been great.
I guess it would depend on how you play Clemson. I mean, you can't lose to Virginia, I don't think.
7-point favorite early.
Yeah.
Against Virginia.
You can't do that. Depending on your two big games left of how you play them, if you get whipped like SMU whipped you, then maybe there's a different view, but it seems like they're on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
Yeah. And to win 9 and to do it the way they had done, particularly early when the offense was great. Now, offense hasn't been good for 3 weeks now. They got to figure that out. But you feel like you got a quarterback. You feel like you got a good coordinator. And last year, you felt the opposite at both positions. So I think Pitt is fine. I think it's been a really good year. And who's to say they lose to Clemson or Louisville? If they play the way they played the other night, they could lose to anybody. But I also think SMU's pretty good.
You know, they get to bring some of their people in to fit Cade Bell's offensive scheme. I don't know how. I mean, they were able to bring a couple transfers in that were big time. But now you can pretty much dictate of who you're bringing in to fit the scheme. So that should help as well.
No doubt. Texter, Cade Bell has to be better and Holstein needs to get his head out of his bleep. All in all, 9-3 would be great, but disappointing because you couldn't beat anyone at or above the talent level. We'll see.
Well, really?
We'll see.
I mean, what's the talent level we have here other than running back and the quarterback?
I think the only team they've played so far that has head and shoulders better talent is SMU.
SMU did.
Is SMU. I mean, you could see the skill position speed.
It was with three people, too. The tight end, the running back, and the quarterback. Just absolutely, I mean, well, you remove those three, they would have won the game. But, wow.
I mean, think about this, though, too, Mark. Like, people want, I forget who it was. Pony tweeted out on the reverse play where the dude jumped over, like, 15 different guys and scored. Like, someone's got to get him on the ground is what Pony tweeted. I'm paraphrasing here. I don't know, man. Sometimes a guy just makes a play. That was one of the more athletic plays you saw watching any college game this weekend. And they made three of those kind of plays, and two of them early that changed the tone and tenor of the game.
Yeah, I don't feel bad about that loss, really. I mean, it was a bad loss, but SMU just had more talent.
They got more dudes.
They do. And that's just
Bostic,
the fact of the matter.
And Doran and I were going over that on Thursday. You think about all their transfers at SMU, and it's like from the U. From Bama, from Georgia, from Florida State, all kind of blue blood level guys.
Nobody from Western Michigan?
No.
Oh, well.
You posed a different question, though, going into the last break, and I think it's a good one. 412-928-9370. The Steelers' second half schedule is maybe not quite what we thought it would be. It is quite daunting. Would you sign in blood for 10 wins now? Guaranteed 10 wins, and you go into the playoffs? Or do you want to play this thing out? 412-928-9370. Joe in Brookline up next. Hey, Joe.
Hey, what's up, boys? I want to play it out, actually, because I look at it like Mark said. The division, it's brutal. And you know you're going to get a couple wins, at least one win against Cleveland, possibly one against the Ravens, possibly one against Cincinnati. But what happens if they start beating each other? Then we don't, you know, then the division's up for grabs.
Sure, and everyone's 1-1 in the division at this point, Joe, except for the Steelers, and they, of course, haven't played a division game, and appreciate the call. If you want to win the division, you can't lose to Cleveland. You can't. You got to go 4-2, I think, to win this division. Like 3-3, I think, is bottom of the barrel.
Well, by your definition, yes, they can lose to Cleveland if it's 4-2. They can lose to Cleveland twice and still win the division. They'd have to beat Baltimore and Cincinnati twice.
Right, and I'm just saying I don't think that's likely. I know that the Steelers won 7 out of 8 against Baltimore. I think Baltimore's offensively going to pose a ton of trouble.
I probably would let it play out too.
Yeah.
Because you know what? Because I think 10 wins is minimum right now. I don't think they're going to get less than 10 wins. So why not go for the 11?
Yeah, play it out.
Yeah.
Play it out. You need 4 wins out of your last 9 games to have 10 and make the playoffs. I think they're going to do that regardless.
Yeah. But wow. They might not have anything left for the playoffs if they get there. I mean, just looking the 5-7 on the road, 3 games in 11 days, the Wednesdays, the Saturdays, the Thursdays, the Eagles, the Chiefs. My goodness, I'm talking myself out of this now, but I'm not a big fan of looking ahead at schedules, but wow. I mean, we knew that what it was going to be like, but the timing of it, the who you're playing, and the division's just brutal.
Health is going to be a key factor, as it always is, but even more so now. And this is why I had such a gripe about the schedule coming into the year, Mark. And the Steelers are set up, they've got a good backup quarterback in Justin Fields, no question about it. But you play Baltimore 2 times in 6 weeks. You play Cleveland 2 times in 3 weeks. You play Cincinnati 2 times in 6 weeks. If someone loses a key player, you could be out that key player for a couple of games, key division games. And that's why I've always hated this. By the by, you say parking is getting pretty tough down there at the Southside facility because they've come to start shooting Hard Knocks.
Yep, so a couple trailers there parked, taking about 18 spots up. Wasn't good parking for us media folk anyways, so it's going to be worse. They're going to be around for the next 2 months, I guess.
I said we would get to the Steelers quarterback situation and the report from Adam Schefter. We will do that. We'll also take your calls. Would you sign in blood for 10 wins for the Steelers, or would you play this thing out? 412-928-9370. Right now, it's a Sean Myers headline. Mark Aboli joining us until 10 o'clock. Doran back tomorrow. Mark, do you foresee any chance of both the Steelers quarterbacks being on the roster next year? Adam Schefter, he kind of went down the dollars and cents of it all and doesn't think it's possible. What do you think?
I didn't even see Schefter's report.
Yeah. Said both guys have played themselves into more money here. What? Which is obvious.
Yeah. It all depends on how the season works, finishes out here. I mean, you know, if Russell gets hurt or he doesn't play as well as
sure.
In the second half, then you go Fields-wise. But I agree. I just don't think you can move forward with, especially Fields. I mean, I don't know how much Russell wants. I don't know if he's going to come and say, I want $40 million, whatever it is, depending on what happens this year. Because he knows he's a Super Bowl away from being a surefire Hall of Famer. He knows he's 36 years old. Does he want to go somewhere else and have the unknown? So you might be able to give him a little bit of cheaper.
He wants Baker money, I'd do it. If he wants, and we'll have to see how the season plays out. You win a playoff game, things might change. If he wants Kirk Cousins money, $50 million a season, you can't do that.
Yeah, if you go the
because you ain't winning with him if you're spending $50 million on quarterback.
Was Baker 3 for 100?
Yeah,
I would do a 3 for 100, but be able to get out of that second year.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be tied to that third year. My fault. You don't want to be tied to that third year. That's something you can do. But I've been saying this from the beginning. I mean, Fields' best case scenario right now probably would be not to play a snap the rest of the year. So his value will be at his highest now. They saw what he can do through 5-6 games, and now there's going to be teams going to be throwing some money at him. I mean,
I don't know how much
they're
money
they're going to throw money at him.
I don't know. I mean, yes, but I could see it being like Gardner Minshew money, like 2 years, $20 million, 10 a season. I'm not sure.
Tennessee, Carolina, Indianapolis.
I think he'll make good backup money. I don't think he's making Geno Smith money based on 6 good games after nobody wanted him this offseason. Because nobody wanted him.
No.
Nobody wanted him.
But he's also 25.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he's, I don't know how old Geno was when he got.
Would you pay 43 for both? Would you take?
I don't think that's an option because, first of all, if you're one or the other, why would you even accept that? I mean, if you're the Steelers, yeah, okay, great. Give me them both. But if you're one of those guys, like, what do I want to stay around here for and waste another one of my, especially Justin?
I tend to agree with that. The only reason why the only counter argument I could make is that Justin Fields seems to have a really good head on his shoulders.
Yeah.
And I think he understands the ecosystem here in Pittsburgh now that, hey, Russ is the guy. Maybe he views himself as a really good backup quarterback. I don't know. Probably not, because that's not how professional athletes are cut.
I mean, he's made a decent amount of money, but you never make enough money, right?
Mm-mm.
So you go where the cash is. This cash lasts you the rest of your life. You go where you, first of all, have a chance to play. That's probably number one for him right now. Where are you going to go to be able to ensure yourself being that number one? You don't have to be in pole position or second to the pole position. I don't know. I guess that's just starting second. Where, because you're 25, obviously you're not getting any younger. You want to play. You got the money. Money would be nice. Where can I play? Where can I win and get money? I think that's end up where he'll end up going. Who knows where that is, but there's going to be teams. I mean, you look around the league.
You think they play him at all moving forward?
I don't think they'll play him. Yeah, I don't think there's going to be packages for it. There's not going to be series for him. There'll be a package
play here or there.
A couple plays here and there, depending on what they see. I mean, you'll see maybe three red zone plays against Baltimore. Then the next week they play Cleveland. You won't see him at all.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be that type of situation.
Game plan specific, opponent specific kind of deal.
I haven't said this a while now. I would love to see both of them on the field at the same time. Have sort of a wildcat situation where, depending on what the defense shows you, one guy flexes out and you run the ball, or the other guy flexes out and you throw the ball, you know? Goal line, red zone type of situations.
I mean, they're going to have Patterson to play with when he comes back, too. And if you don't get another wide receiver, you might have to be a little goofy at times, which I'm okay with. I think Arthur Smith's done a really good job. If I'm talking about biggest surprises, I thought he would do a good job. I didn't know to this regard. I mean, they're eighth in the league in rushing, 140 yards a game. They're 13th in scoring. I mean, if one or two of those touchdowns that were wiped off, you know, from the Broderick Jones face mask penalty or the not getting the second foot down, they'd be a top 10 offense in the league in terms of scoring right now.
Yeah,
and without their starting quarterback for six
and
games.
Their offensive line, like you mentioned, have been absolutely hammered this year with injuries. Or ineffectiveness.
You talk about disappointment, though. Broderick Jones stinks.
Yeah, you have
no choice. He stinks.
What it sounds like, yeah, I don't know if you heard the sound from Pat Meyer. It just seems like he's reading between the lines. He's just not totally engaged in everything. I think that has a lot to do with him having so much success in college for a year and so much success his first year.
Well, he was
here.
Always raw. My problem with the way it's gone with Broderick Jones, and you can fault them a little bit for playing with him, but last year he was a right tackle, and I thought played fairly well, particularly running the ball or run blocking.
Yeah.
This year, he doesn't even look like last year's guy, and you wonder if injuries have something to do with it or if it's confidence or what or something off the field. I don't know.
He mentioned the word focus a couple times. I don't know
Pat
if that
Meyer
was a
did.
Faux pas
yeah.
or not, but maybe not focus specifically, but something that's in that realm of definitions of not being prepared, not focused, not paying attention. That's stuff that a good offensive line coach, which I think Pat Meyer is, can clean up relatively quickly.
I was doubting Pat Meyer when I saw what happened with Kevin Dotson last year, and then to an extent, Kendrick Green. And then if you watch Kendrick Green at all this year, holy, he might be the worst offensive lineman in the NFL.
Just small.
They're going to get C.J. Stroud killed by playing that guy. He is a turnstile. 412-928-9370. Let's pop a quick call on Derek from Dallas, listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Derek.
What's going on, fellas? I absolutely believe for the rest of the year we're going to have a decent year. I don't understand all of you guys' pessimism as far as the schedule. I mean, they got to play the same games we play. There is no way that I believe that we could go 3-3, but I believe we could go 4-2. We absolutely been owning Baltimore, and I think that people have to take that into consideration.
Sure.
The division is the division. I mean, we could go 3-3, but I would predict something like 4-2. We have the best combination in the whole AFC. I understand Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes, but offense, defense, and special teams. We have the best three continuity teams in all of football right now.
I would agree that the Steelers, and thank you for the call, Derek. Sorry, we got to cut you short. I do think they are among the best all-around teams in football.
Yeah, well, I think we're pessimistic because we've never seen six division games in such a short span.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen the schedule, as in not who they play.
When you play them matters.
When they're playing.
And where.
When 5-7 on the road. Like I said, I keep saying, 3 games in 11 days, 6 division games. I don't care who you're playing in the NFL. When you have that, you got Wednesday games, you got Saturday games, you have Sunday games, you have Thursday games. That's not easy. You throw that into difficult opponents, that's where the pessimism comes in, at least mine.
This is so lame, but these next 2 weeks are massive, massively telling for this Steelers team. You go and you beat a good Washington team on the road, it's going to turn some heads, and then you got Baltimore at your place. You start out 8-2, you got a real good shot to win the division. You don't. It's going to be a dogfight, probably just to make the playoffs the rest of the way. Like, you could easily lose these next two games. Like, these next two games are tough. The toughest two that they've played so far, I think.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry too. I mean, once again, you look at the what we were talking about this before off the air, but Washington hasn't really played juggernaut schedule. So I'm sure people in D.C. right now are saying, where does this team really stand at when we finally play a good team? So we're like, here in Pittsburgh, we're probably saying something very similar to that, too.
Absolutely. I haven't seen the line yet. I'm going to pull that up when we go to break.
3.5, I would guess. I'm just guessing.
For Washington?
2.5, maybe.
That'd be my guess, too. We'll take a look at it. We'll let you know when we come back. Big game tonight. The Pitt Panthers basketball team in action. I think it's a huge season for Jeff Capel. Why, we'll tell you. But first, it's a Sean Myers headline. Fifty-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Route 19 to Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. We nailed it, Mark. Steelers a 2.5-point dog on the road at Washington. So you play that one on a neutral field, Steelers would be favored. You play it at Acrisure, you might be, 4.5, 5-point favorite, something like that? I think it's about right. I think it's fair. 7-2 Washington.
Yeah, I think we'll get to learn a lot about both teams.
Do you agree with my premise that if you start 8-2, you're winning the division? If not, maybe not. Hard take.
It is a tough one. I mean, Baltimore, I don't know who their schedule is remaining. I haven't really studied it, but I'm sure they're not going anywhere anytime soon. So, but I understand
their
what
defense
you're saying.
Is so bad. It's so bad. Now, whenever you're putting up 41 points,
yeah,
multiple times, you can maybe make up for it.
Plus, your kicker all of a sudden stinks.
Stinks. Steelers special teams best in the league.
Yeah.
So they'll take on the Ravens, Bengals-Ravens, this Thursday.
Thursday, yeah.
Then Ravens-Steelers, then Ravens at Chargers, then Eagles-Ravens. That ain't easy for them. Mm-hmm. Ravens have to go to Houston on Christmas. Oh, so the Steelers got Christmas against the Chiefs. Ravens got Christmas on the road at Houston. Then they finish up with the Browns. So it's tough. It is the start of the Pitt basketball season tonight. I think it's a massive year. Ooh. For Jeff Capel. You lose Bub Carrington, who's playing well in the NBA. You lose Blake Hinton, their best player from last season. Jeff Capel's team should have made the tournament last year. They were good enough to make the tournament. I think they could have been a Sweet 16 team if they had been let in.
Is that a switch of takes from last year? I thought you said they didn't deserve it, or were you just trolling?
I don't think Virginia deserved to make it. I think if Virginia made it, then Pitt could have deserved it. But I think there were like 3 or 4 other teams that had a better argument than Pitt. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, if Virginia made it, then, yeah, Pitt deserves to get in. But there were, like, 3 or 4 other teams that could have made it, too.
I think I'm like a lot of people right now. You really don't follow Pitt hoops until they start playing. Then you get used to these guys, and you can realize how good they are. So I am interested. I mean, I don't follow them in the offseason of who they picked up.
They finally have a good back-to-the-basket guy, I think, playing the five. But my point overall is, Capel should have made it last year, did the year before. But if you want to keep the momentum going, because I think he's found his footing, clearly, yeah, you got to make it this year. Because 1 year making the tournament out of 7, no matter why, doesn't look good. If you want to keep that momentum going, you got to make it this year. And I think one of the things that needs to happen is games like tonight against Radford, beat him by 30, beat him by 40. The net factors all that crap in. Like, yeah, just winning's not enough.
Yeah, wasn't that last year where we were saying, yeah, this game in November, they only won by 5.
Right.
I mean, one of those.
It's a bizarre formula, yes, but the formula's the formula. So a team like Radford tonight, I didn't even see the line on the game. I couldn't find it this morning. Let's say you're favored by 20. Win by 30. That stuff matters. Got to do it. Their non-conference schedule's a little bit tougher this year, too.
Good time of the year. On a Tuesday or Saturday, tune in, watch the Pitt basketball team. I like it. I do like watching some Pitt basketball.
Me too, especially around Thanksgiving. Oh, and yeah. And how about this? Backyard basketball. 1 week from Friday.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. At the Peterson Event Center. Are we going?
I have never went to a Pitt basketball game.
What? Sean, are you a Pitt basketball guy?
No, but I did go to that game 2 years ago against WVU where I think the Mountaineers blew them out, but then Pitt ended up making the tournament and had that really good run.
That's right.
I thought he was going to say no, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express. I thought for a second you were going to say that.
Mark, thanks for being here for 2 hours, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Now it's time to go work.
You too, Sean. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you, Adam.
Doran back tomorrow. Starkey up next. Right now, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's here. The Chevy Red Tag event now through December 2nd, excuse me. 0% APR for well-qualified buyers. Full terms at sunchevy.com. Mostly sunny today. High 71.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.